Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This episode is brought to you by Libsyn. Planning to start a podcast? Look no further than Libsyn. Libsyn is one of the biggest feature-rich podcast hosting platforms in the world. Libsyn is IAB certified, offers many hosting plans, and you can start for as low as $5 a month. Aspiring podcasters who listen to the show radio can get 1 month free by using the promo code TSR. Use promo code TSR at checkout to get 1 month free.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. This is episode 645 of The Show. I am your host, Andrew.
Hey, guys, and I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. In this episode, we have some Call of Duty stuff we're going to be talking about. We're also going to be talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, what's going on with that as well. And we have a couple of things from Starfield to Bungie. So, you know, the latest things that are happening in the news cycle. Daniello, how are you?
I am good. I can't wait to get to the TMNT stuff because I got questions.
You got questions for sure. Okay, so we'll jump right into it. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I was sent by Xbox the kit for Donnie. So it comes with the controller, it comes with the pizza backing where you can add the scent to smell like pizza, and actually when you open the box it smells like pizza, which is very interesting. So there's that. I did see the movie Mutant Mayhem is absolutely amazing. I am a fan of the Turtles, you know, I love everything about the Turtles, so it was exciting to get the actual kit and also watch the movie recently. So and of course we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, which launches for all platforms, is the first paid DLC. That's the 31st of August. But yeah, what do you got?
So I got to live through you about seeing it on, you know, the silver screen over there. I don't have a movie theater. Do you have, like, without too many spoilers,
okay,
favorite moments or anything that gave you chills watching it?
Okay, so the soundtrack is absolutely amazing. So no spoilers. I think how the Turtles have always been ones to keep up with the culture and what they're saying and how they're interacting with each other, I think that is pretty epic. So I don't want to give anything else away. I think that the soundtrack is absolutely amazing. And just the way that they're able to put the current culture sayings, you know, different things like that within the context of how they're interacting with each other as teens, I think is pretty dope. Of course, the voice acting is fantastic. The action is great. And from what I understand, every single turtle was represented by an actual teen that voice acted them, which is pretty dope as well. But it's a must-see. And it's definitely one that I'm going to have on replay once we get it to the streaming platforms for sure.
So the fact that they already greenlit the sequel before it even released was totally the right call then?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. This is going to be one that's going to be around for a long time. And they've been around for a long time. You know, we've seen the movies. We've seen even the ones back in the 90s. Those did really well, in my opinion, as a fan, right? But seeing how they did this one for the next generation and for the current culture, yeah, it's definitely a right move.
All right, so this controller here.
Yeah.
Did it really smell like pizza?
It does. It always does.
Okay, so what kind of pizza? Cheese or pepperoni?
It's, I don't think, it's just the aroma of, like, pizza itself. I don't think it's specific to, like, pepperoni or anything like that, but it's just, like, once you open up the box, then you can actually smell like the scent of pizza itself, which however they were able to do that, it's fantastic, right? But the other thing that's cool about it as well is you have the vial that you would you know, put the drops in for the actual pizza, and you can either use the controller with that active, or you could use it with the standard backing with, you know, the other set of batteries. So I think the pizza has like the AAA and then the standard AA for the other backing for the Xbox controller. So it is one of those, collector's item, I would say, right? Just by design. And one of the things that I really appreciate about it is the fact that whenever these things come around for the Turtles, there's always something that's going to be dope that comes out of it. And for even the marketing cycle with the games that we've seen on Steam and how they were, they got the Cowabunga collection. So that came up. So they always get us, right? The ones that do marketing really well, they always get us to a place where as soon as they release the big piece at the end, whatever that thing is, we've been prepped, you know, the whole time to get here. But it is really, really dope. And it also comes with Xbox Game Pass, which is fantastic too. So they give you that in the box as well. So shout outs to Xbox.
That's amazing. How big is the vial that they give you?
It's actually pretty, it's pretty small. It's like maybe a quarter of a pen. So it's not a big vial. Yeah, it's kind of, it looks almost like a chapstick type of size. That's probably even more, a better description. It's a pretty small vial.
You're gonna be like hoarding that for special moments, probably only when you play.
It's, you know what? I thought about, so I'm trying to figure out, like, if I can play with the controller with the, you know, the extensions that you put, like, on the right side or the left side. But I don't know which ones really work with the Xbox controllers. If I'm going to use, like, any Xbox controller that doesn't have, like, different thumbstick heights, I have to put the extension on top. But yeah, I definitely want to play Turtles, Shredder's Revenge with that for sure. Yeah, and they gave me Donnie. I'm not, you know, I'm like, if I had a choice, who would I pick, right? So there's that. So I think if I had a choice, it'd probably be Raph. I know traditionally it could be, you know, Mike or Leo, but I'd probably go Raph. I don't know. I feel like I identify with his temperament, even though like all the Turtles, you know, we have them in us, you know, in some way, shape, or form in terms of temperament and character or whatever. But I think I'd want the Raph if I had a choice, but I'm not upset at Donnie, right? But the fact that I even had the opportunity to get it, you know, I'm grateful for that. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I agree with you. I like Raph. He's always a serious one. He's always like, I wouldn't say headstrong, but he's just, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, he's stubborn.
Serious is definitely it.
Yeah, serious, stubborn, moody, you know, a little disruptor, you know.
I'm definitely a Donatello. Definitely.
Yeah, Donnie's really dope. Like even with Shredder's Revenge, I tend to play with, I guess, a balance of either power or speed. So it's either going to be April O'Neil or Raph. Raph is really, really strong in Shredder's Revenge. Really, really strong. So as a character that, yes, you need to be up close, but because of the amount of speed that he has in the game, I think he's one of the, well, in my opinion, a good supporting characters, but can definitely hold his own because of the amount of power that he has. The turtle has, not necessarily identify as a he, I don't know, right? They're turtles. So there's that. So yeah, it's definitely dope. So shout outs to Xbox for that. Dimension Shell Shock, the first paid DLC expansion for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. That is the end of the month, towards the end of the month, which is the 31st of August. The movie, if you haven't yet seen it, go see it. It is absolutely amazing, and it's going to continue to be amazing, especially stay till the end. Okay. Stay till the end. So you know what's coming next. So there's that.
All right. I'll stay till the end.
Absolutely. So yeah, it's going to be good. So that's what's up with that. Couple of things, nothing too crazy on this episode. Atari 50 Studios, the making of Karateka interactive documentary out this month. And then we also saw the Xbox adding the enforcement strike system to improve safety and transparency. Any thoughts on those things?
I'm always down for a good gaming documentary.
For sure.
And there's never anything bad about improving safety and transparency. So good on Xbox.
Yeah, for sure. Next thing we got, the gang is back together. First trailer for Netflix Scott Pilgrim anime. It looks really, really dope. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, I love that trailer. I love, like, I'm amazed that they just got the full cast to come back for this too.
Mm.
You know, it's so cool to see something that came out, I think it was on the 360. Still have so much love. Still have like such a huge audience that loves it. The movie was fantastic. So to see like they're coming out with this like on Netflix. I want to say this, knock on wood, I'm probably talking too soon. I don't feel like this is going to be one of those series that Netflix prematurely cuts out, but I really hope that it goes into, you know, a little bit more backstory. He's spread it out a little bit more. I think it's going to be a fantastic series to watch through again.
Yeah, I definitely agree on that. Like the art is fantastic, and it's one of those things. I definitely agree with you on there that it should stay, right? Because of how amazing it looks and what we already know about the series. The games are really good. They had remade the game maybe a year or two ago, give or take. Might be a little bit longer.
Yeah, maybe a little bit longer, maybe 2 years.
Yeah, depending on the time frame for that. But soundtrack has always been good for Scott Pilgrim as well. So looking forward to see what they do there. So in terms of Last of Us, right? How are you feeling about the stuff that's happening there? So according to recent news, we'll see around 4 seasons of that coming up. Are you excited? How do you feel? Is it?
Of course I'm excited. That okay. Season 1 was amazing and I loved it. And it is killing me to have to wait.
Okay.
But I'll be happy with 4 seasons. If that's what we're going to get, okay. As long as the next 3 are fantastic. It's just as good as the first one, which I don't see how it can't just get better. But 4 seems so little. I don't know. It's being selfish. It's being selfish at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely, I need to finish it. There's a couple of things that's on the radar that I actually want to see that maybe I'm taking too long to watch. There's this movie called Judas and the Black Messiah. You know, I know it's a very, very powerful film, and I need to definitely dig into that. There's the Equalizer stuff, right, with Denzel Washington. And Equalizer 3 is coming soon. I haven't seen 1 or 2, and that series is pretty good. So there's a couple of things I need to catch up on, especially heading into the fall, winter season, if you will. So there's that. Of course, Bungie is having the final shape. They're going to be detailing what the final shape DLC is going to be about for Destiny 2. You know, whatever happens with Destiny, I'm still going to play regardless. Doesn't matter. You know, I'm not necessarily anticipating something super great, you know, coming up. It is going to detail the next thing, which is fine, but I don't have like any like high expectations. I just want the game to work and for me to continue to enjoy it the way I do. So I think that's how I'm going in to the stream. And I think that anything that they show that's going to be new, I'm going to be excited about because of that expectation, right? So that's what's happening next week. And I think they have a teaser trailer out for that right now, which is about maybe 15, 20 seconds, give or take, something like that. So any thoughts on Bungie or Destiny or even a marathon?
Your which jam. Is,
that's my jam? Okay, so fine. Moving on. Yeah. So moving on.
I'm not hating on it. I'm just so out of the loop about everything that goes on or the story. Like, what am I going to add? I'm just going to come out as this, like, poser fake over here.
That's all good. No, that's all good. So we'll move on. So Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, that is the next one, big reveal. We saw the trailer. The trailer was about 2 minutes. Definitely make sure you check it out. If you haven't done so already, it is. Okay, so what I will say about the trailer, it gave me chills, right? And whoever the crew, whoever, all the individuals that put that together for us to get excited for a Call of Duty every year, right? I don't know what's different about this one, but there's just something about it that felt new, even though we're seeing a name of a game that we've seen before. And they're able to do that, right? Every single time. So this trailer is pretty amazing. Gave me chills. Of course, it's Call of Duty. Excited for that. And yeah. Thoughts on COD, Daniela? Any thoughts on COD?
Yeah, because I always have so many thoughts on COD. The trailer looked really cool. I mean, you know, the whole cinematic thing, it looked really, really cool. They did announce a lot of things that are going to be coming out and what to expect. You know, they did their as much as they were willing to share about what to be expected for Modern Warfare 3. I did really like the song that they chose, which is pretty much Don't Fear the Reaper, which was a really nice, like, I guess, cover from, you know, Blue Oyster Cult. So that was really cool. But here's the thing. I know it's get the hype up, but sometimes people just want to see the gameplay too in that. Like, the cinematics looked really cool. That was really nice, very polished. People also want to see, like, what's it going to look like? And I think maybe I saw maybe 5 seconds of it in there, maybe. But of course, they don't want to, like, spoil too much. I mean, they had some interesting things. I mean, quite a few of the maps from the original Modern Warfare 3, I believe, is going to be in there. They did announce a couple other things to expect, and that, you know, your purchases or whatever, which I thought was really cool, from Modern Warfare 2 is going to carry on over to them. That I think that's pretty awesome. But overall, I mean, I'm like, it's not making me want to go and jump into it. But yeah. I can appreciate certain things about it.
No, definitely. Definitely. It looks dope for sure. A Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. That is the next one. And I also saw the Sega Hyenas, right? So that looks really good. That looks really good. Of course, it reminds us of many games that we've seen in the past, you know, with the anti-gravity and different things like that. One of the things that was mentioned for this particular title is that it is challenging, whatever that means. I think that's pretty broad, but I would like to believe that any development tend to be challenging. So
when you're trying to establish something that's like, either you're taking something that already exists in all of these games and make it unique and make it yours, and just that's what you're going to be known for. Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah,
hope all those games are challenging to develop.
Right. Everything that we know and love today that worked out really well. I mean, we can go from like a GoldenEye to a GoldenEye inspiring, you know, COD to be what COD is, to the lulls of Destiny when they were having like currency issues and how XP was probably calculated and what that's going to mean for the title. Like, all this stuff that we've seen, you know, I'm sure Mario has his own situations with development. Then you had Hideo Kojima in a situation with, you know, business, right? In short, right? And all the stuff that went in with that. And I'm sure building a new company and building new games and collaborating with PlayStation. I mean, we have history of what may be considered challenging, right? And I think that, especially if it's a new IP, a new thing that we've never seen before, or even like something like Dust, an Elysian Tale, you know, fully hand-drawn, you know, one of the most, in my opinion, one of the dopest Metroidvania type of games, amazing soundtrack that we've seen in a long time. I'm sure development was challenging there. I think it was like a 1-2 person team, one person doing the game, one person doing the music, right? So challenging, you know, is broad. You have... what is that game? The game with the sound and the mental health. Why am I? It's escaping me right now. With Hellblade. The lady.
Hellblade.
Hellblade, right? You know, small team. I think it was what, 20 people, give or take.
Yeah.
You know, that's like a AAA type game. You know, a lot of the games that created its own genre for AAA with a small team, you know, pretty impressive, right? So I'm sure they had challenges too. Does that diminish the challenge that they have for Hyenas? No, I'm just saying that, you know, I think that's a broad term to use for that. But hopefully whatever the challenge is, they overcome it. So any thoughts on that?
No, it's interesting that you're, well, kind of off topic from this, but, you know, going back and going through challenges, it's not on our docket right here, but it's been like 9 years. This also because you mentioned Hideo. It's been 9 years now since PT. You got a little, you know, teaser, little gameplay there. And Guillermo del Toro kind of, you know, tweeted out, you know, maybe revisiting the idea of it and reviving it. That's definitely a challenge because, well, Hideo will obviously not be about it, but he, you know, he hinted about, you know, let me visit you, Konami. Let's come back to this.
Right.
Which I think a lot of fans would absolutely love. So that's definitely, you know, something that I see challenges. Somebody who was a part of this, bringing this game to life with Hideo Kojima, and then having it pretty much pulled out, cut, you know what, it's not happening. That is a whole different type of challenge, but I know you can overcome it. People are going to love it.
For sure. Yeah, that would be dope, because I remember, like, during that time, they were selling the consoles with the accounts just for that game on it. Because once you, was it once you move it, it was wiped or something, right?
Yeah, something like that. Like, you just wouldn't be able to download it again at all. It's just gone. If you don't have it, you don't have it.
Right.
It was cool. Then, you know, just that little teaser, people loved, and they were just anxious to, like, see what's this vision that Hideo and Guillermo del Toro had together. Not to have it.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that would be dope. I'd have to see what they do with that for sure. And yeah, so there's that. A couple of things before we wrap out of here. Starfield, right? Big game. You could preload now. Xbox Series X.
I have a feeling for sure Starfield is going to be game of the year.
Of course.
there's no way with everything that, you know, the excitement, the hype, everybody who just wants this game so badly on a different level of PT. But yeah, it's cool that, you know, you're able to preload it now, and just they're leading up to it and everything that they've been teasing, and, you know, the timeline they had that, like, came before Starfield that leads up to it that you're going to be playing has just been like chef's kiss perfect here. Yeah. To get those people still interested, to get their hype up, to get their excitement there. I have no doubts. And I will be absolutely shocked if it's not game of the year.
Yeah, same. No, it's looking really good. Everything we've seen, even, you know, the shorts that we've seen on YouTube and like the rolling out, as you mentioned. Yeah, everything is looking really, really dope for that. And I'm probably going to start preloading. I didn't yet. I was supposed to. It slipped me today, but I'm going to do that by the weekend. So it's ready. It's ready to go. So, I mean, exciting times. You know, that game is going to take up a lot of time, and hopefully there's no issues using the Xbox app on PC to connect to the game. I mean, especially when you're trying to load it up to your, you know, like a window share for OBS or Streamlabs or stuff like that. So we'll see. Hopefully that's already ironed out and there's no issues for that as we prepare for Starfield, which is September, right?
Yeah. September is going to be crazy.
Yeah, which is literally.
People might be like, how does this game get game of the year when it came at the end of the year when so many great games came before it? Well, because it's Starfield.
Right.
That's why.
Right. One of the most anticipated games of right now. So definitely be on the lookout for that. Preload and make sure you get more hard drive space if you don't already have it. So next thing we have is Twitch blocked. Banned users can no longer watch live streams. Slowly rolling out. So I would think that would be a logical thing to do out of the gate, especially if your platform is established. But go ahead, Daniela, what do you have on this?
Right? One? Like, that, I think that was such a huge thing. Like, what's the point of blocking and banning somebody if they can still watch you? I mean, I feel like that should have been a standard, I don't know, a decade ago?
Right.
Like, the fact that it took them this long is ridiculous. I mean, it's nice that it's finally happening. It's like you said, it's slowly rolling out, But the fact that it took this long, and it's like, the nice thing is they said it's not like that the end feature of it. Like, they are going to be making changes like as needed to improve it, to make it better. But yeah, if you if it'll be in your settings to be able to enable that. So, you know, not only can they just not talk into in your chat anymore, they can't watch you anymore. However, that's currently when you do get it. That only applies to your live streams. They'll still be able to see, you know, past VODs and your shorts and whatever it may be. But I think the way that they're wording it, that may change, that like they won't be able to see that ever. It kind of seems like this should have happened so long ago. I mean, when you block or ban anybody else on any other platform, they can't see anything. It'll just have, like, you'll see a little profile picture. You won't even see their bio. It just says, like, you were prevented from seeing this person. And it just took too long. I kind of want them to have something in where if your account is blocked or banned, kind of like Instagram or Meta, where, like, you're also blocking just that person, but any profile that they have associated with that email.
Mm.
Like, that would be nice, because I know there's people who just make multiple accounts to just, like,
of course,
that avoidance there. It's like, make that a little bit easier. Adopt that one. But it's nice to see that it's finally happening after I don't know how long, but it's nice.
No, absolutely. No, it's good to see that. Even though I'm not on Twitch, but I'm glad they're doing things to help out their platform where people can actually, like, want to stay on their platform, because it seems like the last couple of things that we've seen, I mean, we can go maybe a year and a half out, right? Or back, that they've struggled, you know, a lot. You know, of course, I'm sure there's moving parts, you know, people taking different roles, but, you know, with Twitch, you know, it is, you know, that purple, you know, branding and community and everything it stands for. You know, people still love Twitch and they just want it to be a good place to feel safe and also, you know, do good content, right? Be supported. So we'll see. We'll see what they do there. And shout outs to them for doing this, right? So there's that. Last but not least, we have Lenovo's Legion Go. Okay. We kind of briefly talked about this. We have all these things now. We have Asus ROG. We have Steam Deck. We have now the Lenovo's Legion Go. We have the G Cloud by Logitech. So there's other ones that they're doing well. I just don't know their names and I don't want to mess up on their names right now. So what do you think about this one?
It's an interesting little mashup, because what was kind of leaked about the Legion Go, it looks like it combines, you know, the greater part in the screen size and kind of the look of the Steam Deck, but with these modular controllers that is very similar to a Nintendo Switch. Mm. It is going to be running Windows 11, supposedly. That's going to be the default operating system. So in theory, if it's Windows 11, that could possibly mean that you can play your Steam games, your Xbox Game Pass games, you know, your Epic Game Store stuff, EA Play, all of that stuff that we usually have on our PC. In theory, should be able to run on it well too. I don't think I saw anywhere about any, like, hard set, you know, peripherals or hardwares that it's going to have inside of it. I'm sure it's going to have your standard USB-C headphone jack, micro SD for expanded, all of those normal things that you would hope to expect to see on a handheld console. I'm just kind of glad that it's not like a streaming device. I know Sony's coming out with the Project Q. I don't know. I don't like streaming type devices. I like the ones that I can play it anywhere with or without, you know, mobile service or Wi-Fi or anything like that. I just want to play it wherever I am.
Right.
I don't need a device where I can just play it in another part of my house. I want it where I can play it in another part of, like, I don't know, the world.
Right. Right. No, it's cool. You know, it's another one. I'm sure it's going to be good because of what we currently know by way of specs and OS, as you shared, right? So looking forward to seeing what they're going to do there. But I mean, if I were to get one of these devices, right? If I were to, I'm just, use these words here. If I were to purchase one of these devices, it would probably be the Steam Deck first, right? Simply because
I'm still loving mine so much.
That's what I'm saying, right? So simply because the ability to switch out your thumbsticks with one that's going to last for a very long time because of the ghillie kit aftermarket parts, right? That's still appealing to me versus these are coming out with, okay, so premature statement, I'm sure. They may not have that in there, right? So how would you make that adjustment? You know, I haven't heard any other company really talk about the ghillie kit, you know, swap, you know, for the aftermarket for their parts. The PlayStation controller, I believe, has that. And the Steam Deck has it as well. And then ghillie kit has the, the King Pro 2, I believe it's called, their controller, which has the Hall Effect sticks, which is the ones that don't really like wear out, right? So as more companies do that, I think we recently talked about Xbox doing kind of like a interim controller that they licensed that has the Hall Effects. And then they did the repairs for their main controllers, which I'm sure at some point they're going to have to consider adding that, if you want to call it it is technology, right? If they're going to add that technology in their controllers moving forward, then that's going to be less sales, but the people are going to want to buy their controllers. So it might cancel out, but it's going to be more appealing to know that the controller has this thing in it that over time it's not going to wear out, right? So yeah, just a random thoughts there.
Yeah, it's definitely a very interesting thing, whether it comes to controllers or now, you know, battle of the handhelds. Which I'm telling you, Sony, we don't need a streaming device. We need a Vita 3.
Vita 3.
Yeah. You know that they don't give it any unique names. It's like, currently, I know it's Project Q. So they announce, you know, I don't know what they're going to call it, but they just go by numbers. Vita 1, Vita 2, Vita 3. Well, actually, the first one was PSP, so maybe.
PSP,
maybe,
right?
PSP. Maybe it will be a different name, but I'm just saying, I would love to have another Vita. I would. That was like my absolute favorite, and I had that thing for so long. I am so sad that it is missing right now, but that thing was fantastic.
Yeah. I got one more thing before we wrap. I just want to hear your thoughts on it before I close. But this Gran Turismo movie, you going or not?
Well, I had like.
Well, you know what I mean. Well,
I gotta fly out somewhere.
Okay. Well, if you don't have to fly out, are you gonna like press play on it when the time comes?
Of course, my son. That's like my movie that my son actually wants to watch with me. That he might not actually fall asleep on me on.
Yeah, I want to see it too.
Yeah.
Gran Turismo.
I think it has a great story to it. I don't know how much of it is going to be, you know, flourished, but I think it has a great story with it. And somebody, you know, loved video games and racing games and turned his you know, escape or just hobby into an actual career. I mean, and that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I definitely want to see that. Yeah, and that's all we have for episode 645. Daniela, where can they find you?
Find me on all the socials at Miss CJM, and where can they find you, Andrew?
You can find me at Uriah, URIYYA, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.